What's up, guys? Welcome to Kinda Funny's MCU in Review. Today's episode is Guardians of the Galaxy. Nick is back. The return of Nick. Greg Miller, Kevin Coelho, Andy Cortez, Tim Geddes, of course. You can get the show every Tuesday at 9 a.m. on youtube.com/kindoffunny or podcast services around the globe. You just got to put in Kinda Funny Reviews. That's the name of the podcast. It's also available on Spotify. So that's great. What do you got for me, Greg?
Nothing. Kevin's real mad that was happening, but I knew it would go away. What was happening, ladies and gentlemen? I won't tell you. If you want to stay for the post show, patreon.com/kindoffunny for just $1,000.
Ragu Vids.
We have some breaking news about that, but we'll get to it in Ragu Bag. It's not that breaking.
I got excited.
That's a little tease to stick around until we get to Ragu Bag.
Nick didn't know because, of course, he didn't watch the episode at all. Mm-hmm. But Captain America Winter Soldier is our new number one. Mm-hmm. I
vehemently disagree with this. If we could go back and do a revote from last week, parliamentary procedure dictates that I have to be here. I am the co-president of Ragu Bagu.
First off, that has nothing to do with
battled
as
death,
the other co-president of Ragu Bagu. I said it was okay.
Wrestled my life back from the steely cold clutches of death. And he said specifically, when I was looking at Death in the eye, I was like, Death? And he's like, what's up? And I was like, is that a coffee? He said, yeah, I brought it for you. I said, thank you. And then I was like, I can't die yet because they are putting Winter Soldier at number one, and that is fucking blaspheme.
No.
They have blaspheme.
It's a loading system.
Today we're talking about Guardians of the Galaxy, released on August 1st, 2014. Directed by James Gunn.
Sing the whole time.
Friend of the show.
James Gunn, friend of the show. How much of a friend is he?
We DM every so often.
Oh, okay.
You tell him to come on?
I do, but he's always so busy.
He's doing great stuff. Whenever he wants.
What's he up to now?
What's he up to now? He's getting ready for Guardians 3, I think.
he wrote Scooby-Doo and Scooby-Doo 2.
Sure did.
What a twist, too.
Also wrote... Yeah, that was a fucking twist, man. The Scooby-Doo movies. Holy shit. Did you ever see them?
Yeah, the ones with Matthew Lillard when he played Shaggy and... What was your name?
And Freddie Prinze.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
No, the other one.
Freddie Prinze.
The one from Grandma's Boy. Doesn't matter. Keep going.
But it was Scrappy that we're talking about.
Yeah.
He also wrote the 2004 Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, the one directed by Zach Snyder.
I love that.
Didn't he also do Slither?
Yes.
And he did Slither.
I love Slither.
He has a history in trauma films as well, correct?
Does he? Oh, did he come up in that group?
Yeah. And that's why Troma's in it.
Yeah.
In Guardians.
Interesting.
He also directed PG Porn, which is one of my favorite web series of all time, where he takes porn stars. And then puts them in situations where like they think they're getting ready for a porn, but everyone else doesn't know. It's so fucking good. There's like seven different ones. It's PG.
Is it like a reality prank show or something?
No, it's scripted.
Okay.
It's all scripted.
It's really good.
And God, there's one with Sasha Gray that will change you.
For sure. Yeah, that's great.
It is.
That makes sense. I'll Google it.
Is that Entourage?
You'll never get to that video.
You're never going to get to that video by Googling it.
I'll just Google Sasha Gray porn and see what happens.
Exactly.
That's good enough, right? They don't need
14
the
hours later.
Oh, crap. It wouldn't take that long, Eddie.
The budget for this movie, an astounding $232.3
million. Worth every dollar.
The first Marvel movie, more than Avengers.
Because all the space.
$220 million. Yeah, space costs a lot of money. And a lot of stars. First known stars. You know what I mean? First time they're in these movies. Makes sense.
Yeah, okay.
A lot of debut stars, are saying.
Like,
yeah.
Well, not so much debut stars, but the first time they're in any of the MCU movies.
Why would that cost a lot?
Probably because they couldn't.
Dave Bautista?
Yeah, like, is he a star?
Chris Pratt? Zoe Saldana? Are you kidding me?
Chris Pratt? No, it was not a megastar. This is the movie that made him an action star.
He was a star, yeah.
He was a Parks and Rec fat guy star.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Chris Pratt is amazing in this film, but it was funny to watch this and be like, oh, right. This is the one that launched this entire branch of his career, which is what he is now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is the one he got fucking jacked
Bradley Cooper.
Out
for. Bradley Cooper.
Diesel. VD. Sir Vincent Diesel.
VD. I'm sure he loves that.
Glenn Close.
Shouldn't have picked Vincent Diesel.
Oh, man.
Dude, so John C. Reilly.
John C. Reilly.
By the way, let's just stop right here.
Mm-hmm.
He's the best part of this movie. By
the
far.
Best part
the best
of this
part
movie.
Of the movie. By far.
I don't believe anybody's 100% dick.
Box office, it made $773.3 million. And then in just box office MCU news, this week as recording this, Black Panther broke $1 billion.
Wow.
Which is huge news.
That's nuts.
The only MCU movies above it are Civil War, Iron Man 3, Avengers Age of Ultron, and Avengers.
Yeah.
So we'll see where that kind of nets out. I don't know if it's going to make it any farther than this. I think it might top out there because there's a pretty big gap between it.
How much longer till it catches up with Justice League?
Blue pass. Just a fair amount.
Paperwork's out of date here. So.
That's all I got for you, Greg.
Yeah.
Hit me with the plot.
Let me tell you about the Guardians of the freaking Galaxy.
Dude, I'm here for it,
man. That's what you're here for?
Yeah.
All right. So what you got is this grandpa, right? And he is familiar, but I don't know what he's from.
He's been remember? So many things that I couldn't tell you one.
Character actor,
couldn't
man.
Couldn't tell you one.
Character actor delivers oh a great God. Performance. Right?
Wait.
What is this grandpa in?
No, wait. Hold
Haunted
on.
Haunted me the entire movie, didn't focus on anything else. Whoa, wait, I don't wait. Know what happened. Rub it up.
Until now, I have just realized that that's not his stepdad.
That's no, his that's grandpa. His grandpa.
Yeah.
Which is like, your grandpa's going to take real good care of you.
I don't think it matters.
He's going to take real good care of
you. Yeah, it's kind of, you need to go watch the movie.
I've seen Guardians of the Galaxy the most out of any MCU movie. When she's on the deathbed, she says, like, your daddy was an angel and he was made of pure light or whatever. And they cut to the old man and he's like, come on, Peter, we better go. And my initial thought was like, he's hiding something, right? Like, I don't know.
No, he just wow, that's see, a grandpa. He just didn't want to see the kids.
Damn, what a
he
great MCU interview.
He didn't want the kid
MCU
to see
interview.
His mom fucking like flatlining.
Jesus. I thought that was like the stepdad or something.
No.
Wow.
So little Peter Quill is outside his mom's room. She's dying over there or some shit. We don't know.
We do know. She's got the cancer.
We saw it.
Lots of cancer.
Yeah, I mean, riddled. But really it's Guardians 2 that reveals that. Right now, it's very much, ooh, she eat a bad milk dud? What's happening? We don't know what's wrong with her.
She's bald as the day is long, but we just assume it was the milk dud that did it.
If I've heard it once, I've heard it twice. Yeah, milk dud, thing. 1 in 7.
When you heard it once,
I've heard it twice. Oh, man.
When you waited, when you got diagnosed with cancer, were they like, was there like, it's either cancer or an attack of the milk dud?
I saw it in the news. Milk duds kill people.
Milk duds are scary.
His mom's dying. She gives him a little gift. He's crying. What's going to happen? He runs outside.
She reaches her hand
super
out.
Super important.
And he's like,
not really that important.
No. I don't want
it. Are you kidding? Important. That was like,
it's a touching scene at the end. It's not important.
I feel like it was one of the most
key
touching scenes
very
like,
important.
That we've
very
seen
important.
In the Marvel movies.
It bookends the narrative. It bookends it. He loses family on one side, finds family on the other side.
You ever think about it that fucking way?
It's not what an arc.
Rockets.
You're telling me if at the end of this movie he just sees Gamora reaching for it and he's like, fuck you, and doesn't grab her hand? It could be anybody. Skeletor could be reaching up. He's going to grab that fucking hand,
yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
He's fucking being torn apart. He's got a flaky skin disease.
I'm just saying it's important could be the milk it's duds. A beautiful scene.
It's beautiful, yes.
Yeah.
Important? No.
Yes.
Importance for themes.
Important for it to be, yes, things that make movies good, yeah.
Well, but again, like, things are going to happen. He's going to grab that hand regardless.
You know what? I'll tell you what, I'm going to get a box of fucking milk duds. I'm going to give all these so assholes some milk duds.
Gross, you know what I mean? All right, so then anyways, yeah, the milk dud mom, all right? She reaches out her fucking frail little hand. Little Peter Quill, he don't want to touch that. He doesn't want to give up on the fact that his mom's going to die.
Like
he doesn't want to make it real.
Mm-hmm.
Then he decides he will, but then it's flatlining and then she's too late. The moment's gone. Mom's dead. He never touched her hand. Runs outside like a big old baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then guess what? Boom, beam of light. He's like gone. What's happened?
Why
oh
are you
my
bullying
God.
Peter
we don't know.
Quill?
Yeah, why are you being
why
a bully?
Greg's a bully.
I'm just saying it wasn't that important. It wasn't important in terms of the storytelling features I'm giving you here.
I think it was.
I'm focusing on the
extremely.
Well, you know what? Then I guess what? I guess
one Peter Quill.
I guess it, first off, for you other three people other than Tim, if any of you could fucking hold my jock when it comes to recapping a movie,
you're really
you'd
good
be
at it.
Recapping
true.
A movie.
He's really good.
Sure,
good.
Yeah. Point.
I got a
ride
chance.
The
I
fucking
a chance.
Pine as the one and only Bill O'Reilly.
Bill O'Reilly.
Bill O'Reilly. I was reaching for a sports coach, and that's all
not
I got.
Not Bill O'Reilly. That's not
Pat
Bill
Riley. O'Reilly.
There you go.
Pat
Bill
Riley.
Belichick or something.
I don't know. That was Bill Cartwright. Anyway, let's jump ahead now. Guess what? You know what I mean? Now we're into space. I think we jump straight to Star-Lord landing on the planet.
Mm-hmm. We do.
He's after something. It seems, oh, it's good.
Indiana Jones.
Waters
very
splashing.
Gritty start.
Stuff.
Yeah, Uncharted. Right.
And then
yeah.
He goes in there, puts on headphones. It's a fun movie, everybody. Get ready for fun. We're going to have some fun here. It doesn't matter about fucking my dumb mom's hand. You know what I mean?
Gotta get your love. Gotta
yeah.
get your love.
Singing into these love. Alien space rats.
That moment in the movie theaters,
so
like,
good.
Didn't know what to expect. And as soon as that happened, I remember sliding back in my seat and being like, oh, yep. Shit.
Here
this is
going
to be fucking fun.
Well, yep. It's important to note, too, that up until this point, we haven't seen something tonally like this, right?
Yep.
We've seen things that are trying to skate, like, to kind of stay on the same line of, like, hey, fun, but action.
There's comedy here, but it's not.
And then when we get to that part where he puts the things on, presses, like, slides the 1984 Walkman onto his belt, presses play with those sick-ass driving gloves that he's wearing, and the song starts, and then you see him twirl. Like, you see him just twirl and dancing, and then gigantic take over the entire screen, Guardians of the Galaxy. You're like, this is going to be a different fun
movie.
And
they did such a great job of, like, making the intro the total antithesis of that. Like,
it was super,
super dark. And no, I mean, just like him walking to.
Oh, he's like scanning the people that used to live there, and they're all
gritty,
like,
and kind of gross. And
you don't know what you're getting. Because, again, now we all know the Guardians so well. But at the time, I remember being in the theater just like you, Kev, and being like, what exactly are we getting? Because the trailers were great. And then, when it goes, boof, Guardians of the Galaxy, and he's dancing, you're like, this is fucking awesome.
I have a weird question for you. This is going to be a little slight interruption. You know, do you remember going for the first time to high school and being like, I don't know any of this, right? Mm-hmm. That feeling of that unfamiliarity.
Yeah,
like,
a completely new place.
Where you don't know the directions and like, before. And then as you keep walking several years later, like, I remember the first time I walked in here, I didn't know what that building was. And now it's just like second nature.
Yeah.
I remember the first time seeing Guardians and seeing them pop and like seeing Chris Pratt at Starland and just having this feeling like, I don't know what the fuck they're doing over there at Marvel and Disney, or Disney hadn't bought them yet, but they had. Okay. I was just remember being so confused and like not looking forward to anything that they were about to do. And boy, what a treat it was.
Yeah, right?
What a treat it was.
So he goes through and he bops around, kicks the rats, shows us some of his cool space tech. He glides over stuff and he's got the cool mask.
Also, I love, like, the MCU does such a good job with the way characters move and having each one of them have the identifiable things. Black Widow with their little fucking Hurricane Rana spinny spins, and, you know, Iron Man just has this swag. Whether he's Iron Man or Tony Stark, holds the way cool he moves. Swagger. It's like, there's just a lot of stuff. And Star-Lord, I love it because
he's
just
his gun.
He's super bumbly and just like kind of all around, and him jumping over that little chasm and like not.
Even then, he's not super steady.
Yeah,
and
it's like,
look great.
I love that.
He's a normal dude to an extent.
Yeah.
Gets over there, picks the lock on some ancient door, gets in there. There's a little orb there. Looks a lot like the orb from Supergirl. I imagine that's on purpose. Anyways, he puts down a little device, sucks it out of the thing. They capture it. It's all great. And then two guys behind him, right? You turn around. Whoa, it's two, you know, nameless guards.
Jaimin.
And then
Jaimin Hounsou.
Jaimin from the movie Not Enough of You Watched called Air with Norman Reedus. A Skybound production.
I watched it. Also, I thought you were going to go Gladiator, but no,
I thought you were going to say Air Bud.
No, he wasn't in that. Gladiator. He was in Air.
Oh, he was in both.
Thanks. He was in Gladiator, right? He had a really dumb haircut, right?
But he had a dope haircut. Everything in that movie.
Did you like his haircut?
I can't remember
his
haircut.
They have a little conversation there. Sure, it was bad. He's like, oh, it's just a junker. Found it. And then he does the whole thing. Well, you might have heard me by my other name, Star-Lord.
He's like, who?
Who? And it's a great scene.
It's like, come on, man. Star-Lord.
Immediately kills the two dudes behind him. Then they're going to shoot out. He falls down. He uses it. He's out. Boom. And he gets to his ship.
Backwards, which was fucking rad as all.
Right out the big hole in the window of the door, or the wall. Then he's out to his ship. We got a cool, again, he's a bumbling guy there. He's got a nice ship. Cool things are happening.
The ship named the Milano.
Milano.
Named after his childhood crush.
My childhood Alyssa crush as Milano. Well.
Everyone,
who's the boss? She was the boss of me. That's who. She was the boss of me.
Exactly. True.
Yeah.
Say
Poison
it again,
Ivy.
Boy, let me tell you a little story about Alyssa Milano. One of my favorite shows back in the day, Tony Danza, you guessed it. Who's the boss? Alyssa Milano, his daughter, right? She was about...
Blossom.
Now, here's the thing. Put in context, I was younger than her at this point, so it was okay that I had a crush on a girl who was probably only 14 or 15 at the time. But I remember those teen, like 17 magazine, those magazines. Man, that was like, she was the one girl that I had like actually ripped a page out and like put up on my wall because she was something special. Is she still? No.
I had Summer Sanders
on. I don't know. I haven't seen her in a while. I haven't seen anything she's done.
Just the hot take.
I don't know. What's she been in lately?
Charms Milano, a gym. Yeah, I think the last time I saw her anything was Charm. She was
kind of went like...
I think she really cares about like issues. Like she's kind of this woman who's doing a lot of stuff for like foundations.
You're thinking about Emma Watson, who works for UNICEF.
And she's
Alyssa Milano's been active in the Me Too and Time's Up movements and stuff. Okay. So don't worry about it.
So Star-Lord he throws a fucking thing and they all fly towards it. Really cool.
Yeah, outside. Yeah,
cool. But it has an off button that they are able to press, which I always thought was weird.
I thought it just ran out of juice.
I didn't see anybody hit a
button. Oh, I thought like it clearly shows someone like press it. No.
I just thought they just ran
out of juice.
And then they take that weird cement gun and start shooting at the Milano. Yeah. But it's okay because it doesn't hit it because he like swerves.
Yeah.
Swerves.
And the girl. I love the physics in that. When he swerves, it looked exactly how a ship of that size would move. I was like, I was really impressed by it. Like it looked like very jerky. And I'm small enough to do this, but you know,
that's one of the things they have fun with in this though, is they play around with some of those elements for comedic timing. Like there's some like when Yondu catches the thing at the end, it's like it doesn't really work, but it kind of does because you could tell they wanted that comedic beat there.
Yeah.
So they're not too they're not too stressed out by like the mechanics of the world to have fun with this one, which I thought was good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're back on the ship and he's like, I'm going to be honest. I totally forgot you were here.
No, not even yet. He's trying to get away, and he gets shoot, and then they get caught in the water, which I thought was fun. Kaiser. And then they free fall, and he's flying all around, and the troll owl and all this other 80s merch is like spinning around because little Peter Quill got taken with his backpack full of his little gizmos and gadgets and enjoyable
Where did
things.
He get the tape player from, you suppose?
His mom.
Yeah, he probably had it with him.
Oh, you mean in the Milano?
The gigantic Milano. Maybe he just bought it from.
I think somebody just like. I'm assuming that technology is not everywhere, but like you know, somebody robbed somebody at some point. Yeah, that Raptor's got it.
When he's in that free fall and he's flying back towards the back of the ship,
yeah,
horrifying.
Yeah,
I just felt like man, like his head's just gonna like hit a panel and he's
different movie. Just died. He's just dead. They smash back on the ground. Everybody's dead. You know what I mean? But instead, guess what? That's not this kind of movie.
What's horrifying?
They right the ship. Everything's great, and this woman, pink woman, comes out from the thing, and we had a comedic moment of him being like, yeah, I forgot you were here. Totally forgot you were here.
Forgets her name, too.
Setting up, of course, then, where we're at with Peter Quill. Mm. A womanizer, Han Solo type, moving across the galaxy. I believe we pick up then with the call from Yondu, but I mean, I might be skipping Ronan's introduction. I don't know. Somewhere in there, though, yeah, Ronan gets introduced. He's naked and a bunch of black stuff. All right, whatever. That makes much sense.
And it's like, hey, you know how we listened to the Kind of Funny MCU interview and Ragu Bagu Vids, and they unanimously decided that the Thor 2 bad guys like almost weren't even on the list. They're that bad.
Yeah.
Let's do that again with Ronan. That'll be a good call.
But the fact that Ronan's the butt of some jokes is good. Yeah. The fact that Ronan is up, it doesn't like Thanos, and he has scenes with Thanos, that he kills Thanos' dude. Let's get a whole bunch of Ronan section out here. We're kind of talking about what happened in the movie.
Speed through it,
sure, he's born out of blackness or whatever, and he has a bunch of people take care of him. I don't understand that 100%, whatever.
I mean, that scene was actually cool pretty fucking like, cool when he smashes the dude's face in with a jacket. Awesome.
Yeah. Especially because we knew that dude from movies past of like talking about Loki.
From Avengers.
Yeah. I didn't know that. What was he in Avengers?
Blah, 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 blah.
No, not that guy. I'm talking about the dude he had in that weird neck brace and he's like, I'm going to kill all you people and then not fucking hammers his face in.
That was cool too. Yeah, exactly.
Imagine how that actually looked though.
Yeah,
I thought about that for a second. Like, how would it really look?
No, the part where
a person's head to get hammered in by a giant purple guy.
Terrible.
Yeah, not good.
But the part where he kills that weird Muppet thing that Thanos keeps around, I was like, that guy's fucking
annoying.
That's
what I'm talking about, yeah.
I'm surprised Thanos didn't snap that dude's neck. Hey, I'm like,
well,
shut up.
Thanos needs a fucking assistant. All right, there it is.
Yeah, but that guy's the worst kind of...
Think about how... That's the thing they don't talk about enough in this.
Snap his fucking neck.
They don't talk about it enough is the fact how horrible... I feel for Thanos. How horrible it would have been that he had to take that call from Ronan later in the movie. Because we already saw Ronan on the phone with the dude he killed. And now you can just imagine the phone's ringing. Thanos like, hey, annoying. Oh, fuck.
Forgot you killed
him. He picks it up like, hey, you're talking right to me. That'd be like me calling the White House right now and Trump answering. I'd be like, what happened to fucking civility and, you know, like respect for the office?
Civility. It begs the question, though, like, obviously, like, like Thanos out there sitting in his throne in Space World, right? Why does he need Ronan to go get this thing for him? Why
doesn't
can't he just
dirty
go
his
do
hands. He's got other things to do.
What's he fucking do? He's sitting in a space world in a fucking throne with one dude.
He's trying to find the other
one. It's not like he has minions.
Remember,
he's just
it's
got
a couple
a
movies now, or maybe it's next movie, where he's like, he'll do it himself. He's decided he'll take care of this himself.
Finally gets out of the
finally get off there. His little porta potty.
First time Josh Brolin is Thanos.
Who was it prior?
Oh, well, yeah, he didn't talk before, right? Mm-hmm. He just turned around and smiled at the camera. Yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
I like
it. It was remodeled a little bit, too.
Oh, really?
Like, it looks different.
It has Josh Brolin's chin.
Mm-hmm.
His chin.
His California raisin chin.
Good for Josh Brolin,
I don't think Ronan was as bad as
everybody says.
Ronan sucked.
No, we'll get there. Don't jump ahead of Ragu
Bagu. I think his intro was cool. I think that like that
what
whole
I liked
scene
about
that,
it.
He has interesting motivations.
Yeah.
Like,
that makes sense.
Yeah, of course. His motivations, of course, are the fact that his people signed a peace treaty with the Nova Corps on their planet. What's it called?
Xandar,
right? And he's all like, I didn't want to do that. That fucking sucks. So he wants to crush their planet. Thanos is
thousands of years of war.
Get the orb. Bring it to Thanos. Thanos will destroy it for him or whatever. Again, we're just mingling. But once he gets the thing, he's like, oh, you know what? I could just fucking destroy this. I don't need you, Thanos. Once I destroy that planet, I'm coming for you.
I don't like this just doing the...
Who the fuck cares, man?
Free Willy.
Free Willy.
Right.
Yeah.
Free Willy.
Free Willy. You know what I'm saying?
What did I say?
I think I was thinking it and I put it in your head.
Oh, I was thinking Free Wheeling.
Yeah?
Yeah. You were.
Cool.
Free Willy.
Anyway, so then we guess what? Now Peter's out. He's got the thing. All's fair in love and war. But then Yondu calls. All right. Oh, Yondu. And the woman answers instead, and he didn't want to talk to it. And it turns out right there that he's a Ravager. He's from Yondu's crew. Yondu has this thing set up for the orb. Guess what, though? Peter Quill went off on his own to do it himself because he's had enough of Yondu's bullshit.
We was going to eat you, boy.
Yeah. They never had Terran flesh before.
By the way, shout out to Michael Rooker, dude. That dude,
Michael Rooker.
He's one of those guys where I saw Yondu in all the promotional materials, like the pictures and like some of the trailers and things. And I was like, I'm not going to like this fucking character. It's going to be generic asshole number one or whatever. Mm. You like him almost immediately, where you're like, there's something behind that sharp smile of his. I don't know what's going on. There's a depth to this character that we'll get into maybe in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
You know what I mean?
Maybe.
That's the thing. Perhaps. He doesn't kill Peter multiple times because mm-hmm. he's going to give him a second chance to do it, but I digress. Yondu puts a bounty on Peter Quill's head. Uh-oh, trouble in the galaxy. Meanwhile, yeah, back at Ronan's camp, the guy's like, we didn't get it, sorry. And then Ronan's like, I look like a fucking idiot in front of Thanos now. And so then he's like, guess what? I'm going to send Nebula, or Nebula wants to go out and get the damn thing back.
Introduced to Gamora and Nebula, daughters of Thanos.
Right. I hate Nebula.
Not by blood most of the
Why
time,
Why do you
right?
hate her?
Nebula might be.
I don't think either of them are.
Sounds good to me. Didn't he just kidnap both of them from like conquered civilizations?
You don't like Nebula?
Hate her.
You're talking about even after Guardians 2?
I still hate her. I wish she would like use her normal accent. I hate. Let's do this. Like,
she's been torturing shit. She's been torturing shit.
She's like half robotic.
Forced to fight, dude.
What's the line that she says where like he's explaining everything to Ronan and then she gets like,
thanks, Dad. Sounds good to me, Dad.
Yeah. But why? Oh, I just hate it. I hate it. And I love Karen Gillan. You're I just so hate her as
Here's what I love about Nebula the most / Karen Gillan is that I have no idea what she looks like in real life.
Really?
Once in a while she pops Jumanji. Up in once in a while she pops up in like, you know, trailers and stuff and somebody's like, "Oh, that's or like it'll be the Avengers or whatever. They'll show everybody together. I'm like, "Who the hell is that woman?" They're like, "Oh, it's Nebula." And I'm like, immediately forget on purpose cuz Nebula is just perfect as she is. You know what I mean?
Perfect this as she
robot
is.
Robot lady. She's all good. Right. She's fun. Don't worry about her, Tim, all right?
I like her.
Her bones
like,
clicking back. Yeah. It's really cool.
That was cool.
Yeah, but then Gamora's like, nuh-uh, I'll go get it. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. I got this. You don't think right or whatever she does. I forget.
She's like, Father already said me. And he's like, don't pretend fucking to tell people what I said. And she's like, but you just literally said that.
Sounds good, Ronan.
Jesus, dude. So we're all going back then to the old Nova Corps planet, Rondu, whatever Xandor. The fuck it's called.
It's Xandor. Yeah,
Xandor. There we go. Cool. Whatever. We're there. Glenn Close is hiding behind a bush somewhere. We assume.
I think, by the way, when we did our reacts for Volume 2, we called Michael Rooker's character the planet name for like 15 minutes.
Andy,
what happened? You
sick fuck. You just exploded on yourself.
Rondu, Nandu.
Why are you crying so hard?
Andy's a Greg Miller fan. What do you want? Oh, you know what I mean? The jokes on the jokes get you.
I had you fanboy.
So here we are on the planet, and guess what? Peter Quill's there, big dick swinging. He's got the orb. He wants to sell the orb and fuck Yondu out of all the money. So he walks into the old jeweler, the broker. Mm-hmm. Walks in the broker's place. Now, this broker guy, I'll tell you what, he looks like a hairless rat. You know what I mean? Yep. That's my whole problem.
Yeah,
with this.
He looks like a naked roll mat.
Yep,
roll mat. Mole rat.
A naked roll mat?
Mole rat. Yeah. And so he goes in there. He starts counting out the credits he's going to give him, all these little gold
And you
things.
Got the best eyebrows in the biz.
That's fine. Yeah, Peter Quill being real funny. And then he mentions Ronan. Dude's like, no way, I don't want part of this transaction. Take your little orb, get out of here. Ronan, he wants to kill my whole race of people. I don't want a part of this. I don't want anything. Peter Quill doesn't fully understand, gets thrown out, doors locked. Either before or after this, I forget. Rocket and Groot have seen them now, seen Peter. They've identified it. We also get our Stan Lee cameo.
Yeah.
Him being a little
ladies' man. Yeah,
calling him a pervert.
Yeah, exactly. So they understand now they got to go after him for money. Groot's drinking out of a fountain. Very fun scene
very
as well.
Fun.
Rocket's very fun as well. Peter gets locked out. They got this cool technology. You do this, the door shuts. I like that a lot. I could go for some of that. When he gets locked out, Gamora's there eating some kind of weird space fruit. I get hung up on this for the next 30 minutes and kind of just forget about what happens.
Like a pomegranate kind of.
But it was like black and white. Oh, so I was guava. Like, is this an Oreo cookie? But is it an Oreo
it was
plant?
Some sort of sea like animal.
A sea animal.
Yeah, some sort of
like an
shellfish.
Yeah. Sure.
I was going to go urchin.
Maybe, and then, now this is improved, but I'm going to toss this out there, and you're free to correct me, of course, when you take over the Ragu Bagu Twids account. Maybe food on this planet, on Glenn Close's planet, is like hook food.
Oh,
just,
where it's
you
fake?
Just imagine it, and it's there, and you're fucking
maybe,
satiated.
Maybe
you know
right.
what I mean?
I don't think so.
What I would do, too, on the hook world, by the way, is I would imagine the food inside me, and then I don't have to eat it. You know what I mean?
So skip the process.
Do you not like eating?
How do you put
it? I like it fine, but I'm busy.
I feel you, dude.
What are you busy doing on this hook planet? What do you got? What do you got on a Saturday? Walk me through a Saturday on the hook planet.
There's keyboards and skateboards, right? So yeah, you're doing that.
Both those things.
Julie Roberts is just chilling.
She is.
Somebody's got to talk to Tink. She's up to no good.
I stand corrected.
Got all these other boys. You're telling me we couldn't get a good game of fucking Red Rover going?
They tried. God knows they tried.
Anyways, Gamora's like, Pow! Kicks him. Takes the ball. Now we have a little chase scene of her running for it, Peter running for it, Rocket and Groot are coming in, they're getting involved, everybody's just running around having a good time. They're playing Red Rover themselves. Good action scene, Tim.
Very fun.
We agree?
Oh, yeah. I liked it a lot. So they're good interaction, all the characters, and the way that they handle situations. Right,
I thought it was a really good way to introduce all that stuff, and it, like, for a moment, you were like, oh, okay, this is how they work. Yeah.
And I like Rocket a lot.
Yeah?
A lot.
Rocket, like, he got me when he was like, look at this stupid thing. And he's talking about a little toddler.
And he's you don't look that cool.
He's like, you can't even stand up on your own. I can't remember what he says. It's fucking great, though.
It is very funny. So they run around and they fight. Groot's trying to put Peter in the bag, but he tries to put Gamora in the bag first because Groot's not all there, pretty much. Rocket's yelling at him. It's a Three Stooges act as well as just a violent fighting act as well.
But it also shows like how cunning all of them are.
Sure.
They keep one-upping each other. Like when Peter waits for him to open up the bag and has his blasters out.
Yeah.
You know, so all those little back and forths where you realize, wow, these you start to see the similarities of them all and why they might gel one day 20 minutes later into the film as a team.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we're introduced to all their kind of abilities to like Groot and being as like, oh, he only says I am Groot, and he kind of like grows.
Rockets gets his arms cut off and shit.
Yeah.
And he's okay.
Why are you whining? They'll grow back later.
That's a good impression of Rocket there. You got a future, man.
She ain't telling me.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Anyways, they battle for a while and it's real cool. And then Peter Quill starts to get away and Rocket's like, it's the little things in life, which is another great Rocket line. He zaps him, takes him down, and then Nova Corps shows up, freezes everybody. Gamora's already been knocked out. I forget how. It doesn't matter. I was still hung up. Probably the food, honestly. You know what I mean? She imagined it would make her sleepy, too, right? And then it got sleep. Yeah, she got something happened.
It was that never-ending game of Red Rover.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what it was. So then we get an amazing scene of John C. Reilly's character and the dude from Shaun of the Dead's character putting all these guys into booking and stuff and giving us a rundown of who exactly these people are and what their abilities are. We get Peter Quill doing the old wind-up middle
still
finger
funny. Thing. Still funny. No matter how many times I see that whole scene,
I had no idea how this
still
machine
fucking
works.
Funny.
By the way, shout out to that other guy you're talking about whose last name I can never pronounce. Who is the
Shaun of the Dead guy?
Who is the Tick in the new Amazon Tick series.
Oh, right. Yeah,
and I have
right.
a newfound respect for that guy because I love that series.
Okay, good.
What a bunch of a-holes.
Yeah, exactly. I don't like how they say a-holes. That was my one thing.
Yeah, I get it.
Not like the pronunciation, just the fact they say a-holes instead
of
assholes.
They're like nice, the kinder, gentler people on this planet, the Nova Corps.
They don't swear. Glenn Close.
Huh?
Glenn Close friends. Glenn Close wouldn't say assholes.
You do you, Glenn Close. That's a Glenn Coco reference from Mean Girls. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you,
okay,
great. Yeah.
I like but it. I was a little bit too moved around. You know what I mean? Forget it. Mm-hmm. Glenn Close, she'd hang out on the hook planet. You know what I'm saying?
She definitely would.
Anyways.
Cool.
They send him off to jail. It's got a fun name. I forget what
the
it
clank,
is.
The Kiln.
Kiln. Thank you very much. And so they're walking in there. They get deloused. I think Shawshank Redemption, but fun. You know what I mean? And also without the sodomy. But they're getting blasted and stuff and like all orange and stuff. And we get, and then Peter sees like a Rocket turn around. He's got all the experiments marks on his back. And we're like, oh no. We like, not Rocket. Yeah, you know what I mean? That sucks.
Not Rocket.
Yeah. Nathan Fillion. Is that big blue guy?
Really?
Oh, is that was him?
Really?
Say anything?
Yeah.
Is he the guy that takes his Walkman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
his voice down. You're talking about the big dude that like was gonna rape him.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think
this guy's our booty or whatever.
Yeah. They walk in. That's an amazing scene. Yeah, of Rocket, you know, laying out because the big blue guy, I guess Nathan Fillion, comes over and Groot puts the sticks up his finger and like starts growing in his head. You assume really messing with his brain, changing the way he thinks.
Gross. I'm sorry,
guy can't taste sweets anymore.
You skipped a very important part, which very is prior to that, they take away his
Walkman.
His Walkman, and then they throw him shirtless.
Well, he gets tased a lot too.
Into a play, just a pen by himself, and he turns and he gives the look of, yes, Nick Scarpino, I do want you to rank my abs on the new podcast. Rank my abs.
Whoa.
So in order of ab ranking, I'm going
to
still give.
To rank those abs.
I'm still going to give Chris Hemsworth the number one spot because his abs are absurd. But I will give Chris Pratt close number two.
Whoa. Really? So here's the thing. I think he deserves bonus points for the pratification.
For the pratification.
The whole process. And going from fat guy to that guy. Because he was the fat,
so
funny
you
guy.
Put him in number
now
one?
He's the funny hot guy.
I think you should put him in number one. Those abs were extremely impressive.
No, I think he...
Chris Hemsworth, though.
I think he deserves... What I'm saying is,
you leave, and I don't mean to step on your, can I contribute to your podcast?
Well, I'm thinking because Chris Evans' abs were really good.
They were good abs.
But here's what I would say. I would say your two can stand, and that's where you're using the information we're talking about here.
Okay.
I think that maybe just sight unseen, you're just there with a stick of butter wanting to rub in my abs and eat them like corn on the cob, right? You'd look at Chris Evans and maybe be like, okay, you know, he's got it beat. But then you remember that Chris Evans came out of the womb with a fucking six pack ready to fuck people.
It's true.
And then Chris Pratt had to work to it.
I will say, though, at that point, like, as far as body composition is concerned, Hemsworth, Thor, his arms are fucking ridiculous. And my wife looked at them and she was like, they're way too big. She sees Chris Pratt again. She goes, that's perfect. So as far as big is concerned, Hemsworth by a mile, Evans by a mile. But Pratt, and this is very confusing because they're all named Chris. And I'm just throwing this all together in my brain right now. He's what I would love to look like one day. Sure. And I think that that's just outside of the reach of attainable for me.
I was zoned out the whole time because I was thinking of a theme song. I like the thing that you just came up with.
Yeah.
But it's just like a two-liner thing, and say, were they grown in labs? Now it's time to rank some abs.
Yeah, all right.
Can you remember that for next week when we have to rank the abs of all of the Avengers and Age of Ultron?
Sure.
Thank you.
Sure. Anyways, so yeah, great scene. Makes the guy cry. Everybody hates Gamora because guess what? She's from Ronan's thing, and she's also Thanos' daughter. And you could be everybody who's ever died in the universe, pretty much these guys' fault. So they everybody there hates him. So they all like, yeah, they yell at her.
We're gonna get
they murder her a lot.
You're
like
dead.
That.
You're dead. But you're not the king.
You look out into the crowd. There's Batista. Right there, Drax the Destroyer just chilling.
Sitting there, doing something.
Yeah, it looks like what you'd imagine, like somebody who, you know, those like the hand stress worker balls? Squeezers? No, the little things you squeeze to make your hands stronger.
Oh, the metal things.
Yeah. I don't know if that's what he was doing, but that's what it looked like.
No, they're like the finger.
Let's jump cut to nighttime. All the men are just piled in a thing, sleeping together. Okay, cool. And then another group's got Gamora. They're going to take her. They talk to the guard even. We're going to just take it out of the shower. It'll be easier to clean up. They don't care. They're going to kill this person. So Rocket had alluded to as much as well by them. So they start doing that. Chris Pratt wakes up. He goes down there. Rocket goes down there. We go down there. They've all got the knives ready to kill her and do all their mean to her. Drax shows up. It's my, you know, Ronan killed my daughter and my wife. I deserve to get this kill. He gets ready to. Then Chris Pratt stops him, starts talking to him. Drax like...
Funny back and forth.
Yeah, funny. Of course, Drax is great. And the movie's just
this?
Hilarious.
You've seen this, right?
Yeah. And then he's like, yeah. And then he looks at Drax like, no. Yeah, exactly. Why would I run my finger across it? Drax is so fucking good.
So good.
This movie's so fucking good.
And this is where we're first introduced to Drax's personality. You see him, you're like, oh, he's just this big loaf. And it's like, no. You're actually the funniest part of this movie.
He's walking through the Thors.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
He's the funniest part.
Yeah.
So
one of them. All the metaphors go over his head. No, we're not that scene yet, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Nothing goes over my head.
I'm too fast. My reflex is too fast. Anyways, Ronan's going to come for Gamora. Why kill her? You get your chance to fight the big guy. All right, cool. That's good enough reasoning. And he takes the guy's knife, and that was his favorite knife.
That was a great
scene. That was a great scene, too.
I like this knife I'm keeping.
So then we just jump to the next day or whatever, and guess what? Rocket's going to break us all out. They also hatch the plan that we're going to take the thing and we're going to sell the thing for a gajillion credits or whatever, because Gamora knows the buyer. That Gamora reveals her whole thing. She was going to leave Ronan anyway. This is her way out. We're a team. We're all going to split the money. Hooray. Next day. All right, here's the plan. Rocket's got the plan, right? He needs this little... he needs the guy's leg. He needs to get into the tower, and he needs this battery thing and everything. While this happens, of course, Groot walks off to go do it. Hilarious.
Oh, real quick, before that, I love the asleep for the danger, awake for the business, per usual.
The money is
per freaking usual. Yeah. I love that line. Yeah. I love that moment.
Yeah. So then it's all crazy stuff. Everybody's going... This is another amazing action scene. Right, Tim? I go to you as the... expert.
Yeah, no. Fucking love it, because it's the perfect mix of unique choreography with comedy. And we finally see Rocket in his full rocketeering nature with the fucking guns. And it's like it's
that
just
spin
so
around,
perfect.
And Drax, what is he? A disgusting creature. And Doss is the thing.
By the way, before we get to that, I do love that scene where they're sitting there hatching the plan. That's so indicative of what Guardians is, right? If you think forward now, it's a Guardians 2 where we have that intro scene where instead of focusing on the action, we're just focused on Baby Groot like running around, fucking around. It's so fun to do that, and it totally turns all that stuff on its side because he just kind of walks
super
off out of focus
way, yeah.
And then like walks it. You don't really see any close-ups. He just starts pulling it, and you're like, is he going to fucking pull that thing?
Yeah.
Bam! Or we can get it now, I guess.
So good.
An improv.
Do it last, yeah.
And also really cool with like the anti-grav stuff and just like all the things they did. Like that... Great scene.
We've set up how smart Rocket is, that he's not all talk, that he can do all this amazing stuff on the fly, and he can just
jury-mander or jury-rig anything out of, you know, out of the blue.
Great moment of get the leg.
Yeah, I didn't mean that. What was it like? Was he hopping around?
It's funny. So funny.
Yeah,
he
exactly.
just keeps laughing and can't stop
it's
laughing.
It's so like, good. Oh, he, like, set up his own joke. Enjoyed it for so long.
So then, yeah, they're all ready to leave. They get their stuff. Wait, Peter doesn't have his Walkman. He sends everybody out there looking like, just wait for me. I trust you. Of course, he didn't send the orb with him. He kept the orb.
So smart.
He goes there, beats down the blue dude with the headphones, takes the headphones, gets back out there. Yay, we're the Guardians of the Galaxy. Yay.
Another great scene, having him shoot out the side of the thing and come.
With some good music behind him.
Yeah, and what's his face is like, what did you get that was so important? And he pulls out the Walkman. He's like, you're an idiot.
Yeah, it's great.
He's an idiot.
It's super great.
That's the theme song, right? Or is that Avengers?
No. Honestly, the Guardians and Avengers orchestral theme sounds a lot alike.
They do not sound at all alike. But this, I'm so happy that we're finally getting good scores. Guardians theme, they have a theme, and it's recognizable, and it plays often and readily, and I cannot wait for Infinity War when we hear Avengers theme mixed with Guardians theme, and it's going to be fucking awesome.
What about when Wonder Woman comes in?
Skunk.
That'd be surprising.
Is that Kirsten Wig dressed up as a cheetah? Is it not going to be fun?
Somehow Bill Hader's there, too. Everyone's like, what the fuck?
My tail keeps me balanced.
Call back. I have tiny hands. So they're in the ship. Yay, they're going to go take it to the planet. I think we get probably a Ronin interlude here. Maybe even the Ravagers. They're mad, but some, you know, we're getting some B plot there to get him over to the big giant head out in space.
Nowhere.
That's a celestial being. Yeah. Interesting. Put that one in your file for Guardian 2. That'll come up more importantly.
By the way, I love that. Where they're flying into it and you kind of can't make it out for a second. They're like, wait, is that a giant fucking severed head that's just floating in space? It's so cool.
Jesus.
And then take it a step further and be like, all of the spinal fluid and all the vital organ fluid that's still in this thing is like worth a lot of money. So they've just set up this whole colony around it to mine this thing's like head and its brain matter. I think that's really
cool. Imagine coming up with that shit. It's so fucking creative, man. It's awesome.
I thought it was interesting that that's where the base was for the collector. But then as they're entering, they're like, the mining, it's, I don't remember what was the name, but it was the name of the collector.
Tavon Group.
Tavon Group. So it was like his main base. So it makes sense. That's where
Do
his
we know
is.
Which celestial this is? Like
big
which
one.
Being it was supposed to be?
There's a lot
Nowhere.
Of them.
It's what it's called.
Oh, okay. So it's not one of the, it's not one of the ones the one that. Because, you know, like in the Gauntlet series, like he fights the Celestials, he fights like Infinity and.
Yeah, I don't fucking.
Space it was probably the same dude that had the staff later in the video.
Oh, that dude was cool.
Yeah.
Fucking the creature from the day the Earth stood still.
Sure.
Cool.
They get there and they land. They got to wait for the collector's people to make. We didn't introduce the collector earlier. But the collector's there. He's really mean to purple maids, apparently. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Do you have elbows?
There's a lot of then fun stuff. Them. We see the collector.
Sure.
There's a captive dark elf from Thor the Dark World. Mm-hmm. There's a Chitauri soldier from Avengers.
Saw that.
There's a mysterious cocoon that director James Gunn has since confirmed to belong to fan favorite comic character Adam Warlock. And there's even a long one, which is a slug-type monster from Gunn's earlier comedy horror, Slither.
Oh, nice.
I thought it. The golden people make Adam Warlock.
And that's
in the new
well,
one.
Yeah, I mean, find continuity breaks it later.
Yeah.
It'd be cooler if it was, he's just there.
Hey,
can you DM James Gunn and tell him to retcon that shit?
There's also Cosmo, the space dog, who's a character who appears in the 2008 comic run of Nova and later appears in Guardians of the Galaxy comics. He's the head of security on Nowhere, speaks telepathically in a delightful Russian accent, which is a reference to the real life space dog Laika, and later joins the Guardians as a liaison with Nowhere, which becomes the Guardian space of operations. In the film, he appears first as a prisoner of the Collector in that meeting between him and our heroes, and then again during the post-credits scene, licking Tavon's face. The fact that Rocket and Cosmo instinctively growl at each other as Rocket passes by is no coincidence either. In the comics, the two really, really don't get along.
Mm. Nice. So they have time to kill. What are you going to do? You're going to bet on these little CG lizards. As they run around and you're going to drink a lot. In there, we get a scene of Rocket getting drunk, Drax getting drunk, everybody having a fun time getting drunk. That's what it's all about. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Gamora and Peter have a heartwarming scene outside where he teaches her about music and puts that on. They start to dance a little. Then she flips out at the last second when he's trying to kiss her. She won't give in to his pelvic sorcery. Great lines. Great scenes.
Great line.
Also, shout out to Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
You get a Kevin Bacon reference there.
Yes, it is. And
so good.
Eventually, they're going to say, we're Kevin Bacon.
Like, you know what I mean? Which is like Kevin Bacon.
Do you think
when Kevin Bacon watched that movie with his kids, he was like, see, I was a big
the
deal
The first
back
few
in the
times
80s.
I saw that movie in theaters, that line got sort of, like, I think there was a funny moment right before that, and that line sort of
gets lost.
It got lost in the noise. Yeah. And so I hadn't really noticed it until, I think, like, my third watching in theaters. Fucking great callback, dude.
It's so good.
All about the
callbacks. I feel like Kevin Bacon's the kind of, like, his kids were like, do they mean you? And he's like, no, someone else for sure.
Some other Kevin Bacon. Yeah. He's just too cool. He's like, he just loves it off.
I'm sure his kids are like 23 by now, but yeah.
Well, yeah, okay, yeah. But like, you get what I'm saying.
He was awesome in First Class.
That we're imagining.
I know, but he was awesome in First Class.
Let's rank Kevin Bacon from First Class.
Let's put him in there.
Let's put him in the Ragu
Bag. Let's put Kevin Bacon and Michael Fassbender in the Ragu Bag today.
They look back in there, and guess what? There's a fight breaking out. It's Groot and Drax going toe-to-toe. They're fighting. Rocket's fighting. Everybody's fighting. They're all angry. And you go in there.
They're all drunk.
Yeah, exactly. It's a drunk fight. Rocket's real mad because everybody's being mean to Rocket.
And he's finally like, tough guy, shit's going down.
Yeah, exactly.
He's sad.
He's a very sad little wreck. Everybody knows that. Yeah, don't call him wreck.
Well, he's drunk, you know, so that's what happens.
Because he called him vermin, right, or something like that.
Yeah. But then he remembers what everybody else says, too.
Right.
And so, yeah, he almost shoots him. Don't shoot him. Just one more night, and you'll be made for life. You don't have to worry about it. All right, cool. I won't shoot anybody. And then right then, purple maid woman walks in, collector's ready to see him. We all go see the collector. Collector there for some exposition to explain what the fuck is going on.
Good exposition.
Yeah, great.
100%. I thought that's a good example of how to do exposition.
It's another one of like, in the theaters, I remember watching, like, okay, cool, that's an Infinity Stone. But watching all this back to back, where like he's showing what the Infinity Stones are, and there's the Tesseract, and there is the red stuff from Thor Dark World. Yeah. Like, oh, neat. All right, cool. Yeah. I didn't pay attention to that earlier.
Sitting down watching it with Robin, she's like, I'm going to go turn on the oven. Like, no. What? This is very important to everything.
Yeah. And I love that it sort of gives context as to like why these things are so powerful. Like, he talks about how before the universe was made, there were six singularities, and that was what everything kind of spanned from. I think that's pretty cool. So it gives you constant, like, these are the most powerful things in the universe, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the thing, is like, I think they did a good job of explaining gods in a different way, because it's like, we already heard about gods with the Asgardians and all that, but it's like, this, like, no, this is like the bigger level, this is the universe wide who created life type shit.
So great, you delivered it, I'm gonna pay you. He opens up a drawer and also starts counting out these crazy like gold chips and stuff, and like this is where you gotta really question the movie the logic, right? Of like, all right, I understand that the guy working over there with his crystals and whatever, he's, you know, the broker, he's got it, the collector's got whatever, is $400 billion, whatever, like, how much, what are the currency values of those?
He's running the mining company.
does it make sense
if Elon
Musk was gonna buy you, Tim, I wouldn't expect to be paid in cash, but here we are.
I'll tell you what, Elon Musk probably has safes everywhere. He just boop, 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 face scan, and $1 million to you.
And see, that would make sense, and that'd be fine, but here we are with hard money.
But like, it's his planet. No one's fucking with the collector.
It's big world. It could happen.
But he did. It was kind of weird that he was like, cool, I'll pay you guys right now. He just opened up the drawer closest to him, and there was just a shit ton of money just sitting in there.
Hey, man, I'm not going to get in the way he does business, all right? He's in slave trade, whatever. He does his thing.
Karina.
Another funny scene, too, of like, before this, where he offered to buy Groot's body upon death. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Upon death, of course.
There will be no body. Anyways, yeah, then our maid woman, she's like, I've had enough of this. She grabs the stone and giant purple explosion. Well, she just didn't want to live that way anymore. She wanted to kill him, but she couldn't even get that.
She didn't know how powerful it was.
Yeah. I mean, she's heard a giant exposition about how powerful it was.
I mean, no, but like, no. She didn't know that it would kill her. I mean.
But like, no, we see a like seven people try to grab it and they get killed, remember?
Yeah, she wanted to die. Yeah. She was trying to kill herself and take everyone with her.
I totally misunderstood then.
Okay.
I thought she was like, I'm grabbing this, I'm going
to
kill her.
Next time, instead of fucking paying attention to Robin, why don't you do your job and watch the movie?
Damn. You just got laid out. What was she putting in the oven, though? What was she making? What did she make last night?
Grilled chicken and salmon, like prepping for the week.
Wow. She's making her meals out ahead of time.
Yeah, meal prep.
I like that. I like that. That's smart. So, yeah, there's an explosion. It's laid waste to the collector's base. This isn't good. Gamora caps it again. They all run away. They're arguing
this
about
is not good.
This is a problem.
You had that thing in your purse? What do you call it?
That was another really funny scene. Them outside freaking out with being like, what do we do?
Yeah.
Sell it to him. It's like, no, just give it to Thanos or whatever. Not Thanos.
Ronan.
Yeah.
So they had to go back. It looks like, you know, they're on the same page. And then Peter talks about selling it to somebody else for more money. Gamora gets all mad. Then Ronan's ships roll up. Yondu rolls up. Turns out that Drax, drunk, called Ronan, told him they had it here so that he'd come to fight him and he'd get his chance. Meanwhile, Yondu's just there because he shook down the broker. I left this part out. He shook down the broker when he wanted to buy the little frog guy for his dashboard.
Now, do you think he bought it or he just took it?
I think he bought it. I like to think that Yondu
bought it. I like to think that Yondu bought it.
I think Yondu did. Yeah.
I also like, he isn't 100% a dick.
Yeah. And that's our thing, too, where we get... I think it's the first time, right, in the movie where we get introduced to Yondu's thing.
Well, we see it kind of fly up. No, that's in the beginning of the movie. You first see it fly up, but it doesn't use it until way later.
Wait, fly up to who?
Yeah, we've gone back to the
flies up next to him, right?
The broker.
I'm talking about when he threatens.
I think I'm saying see right it one prior time or one time before that when people on his ship are talking shit to him and he pulls it aside and goes,
okay, well that's back. Okay, okay, but this is like the time of like, hey, this thing does something. We do something. I'm just trying to set up that this thing.
The broker's neck.
Yeah, exactly. No, his head.
Shout out to the
Peter Quill's neck, broker's head.
Right.
Shout out to that scene with the broker that shouldn't have been funny, but he's just like,
yeah, that was really good.
All right.
Yeah,
I love it. Exactly. I love this character.
So then now we get more action here. Guess what? Yeah, you know, they try to run away in these like mining vessels or some shit. Drax is going to fight Ronan. Ronan's like, I'll fucking fuck this guy.
We see all the Ravagers, including Tim Gunn. Yep. James Gunn's brother.
Well, is this our first time seeing Tim Gunn?
Well, I think we've seen him earlier too, but I think it is our first time seeing the Navigator Ravager, which is Rob Zombie.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Oh, that, no shit. He's in the end of the movie too. Mm-hmm. He gets like blown away, right? Is he one of the guys that's like shooting up in the thing and it blows up? That's awesome.
So yeah, now we got another cool scene of them flying around, getting shot at. Things are blowing up. Peter Quill puts his ship in another ship, starts controlling that.
That was pretty cool.
That was cool, but weird. I don't know if that would work mechanically, but you know what I mean? It was,
yeah,
fun.
Little
it was fun.
Yeah, little hands. Little
they weren't
hands.
That little. They weren't that little to control. They were kind of, actually, it was the opposite. Giant hands to control very tiny, precise controls. But I digress. I'm fucking just around.
Just shows how good the technology is on Nowhere.
And what a good pilot he is.
He's a great pilot.
Then, yeah, Drax is fighting Ronan down there. Ronan's like, I don't remember your fucking family. But I thought, beats the shit out of him, tosses him in the vat of spinal fluid.
Very
I guess,
easily beats the shit out of him.
Yeah, yeah. Showing
wasn't
us how,
even close.
Showing us how strong and cool Ronan is.
Yeah.
Now, of course, so maybe it's because cool. Drax is drunk. We don't know. Maybe that's
I don't
why
think
he's not.
So. No. Because like he definitely like at one point just kind of slaps him and he goes flying and smashes
yeah,
the door.
Out, yeah,
I'm just putting like, out there. So yeah, they go out there. They're gonna do this thing. They're all flying in space. They're fighting. These things weren't designed to be out here, Quill. And then Gamora's ship, she gets blown up. She had the thing. They grab the orb. They take it away. Rocket's like, yeah, you know, Gamora, she's got enough implants or whatever to survive a little bit, but there's nothing we can do. Peter Quill's like, fuck that. Puts his mask on, flies out there, puts the mask on her. Well, calls Yondu, says, here's where I am, come get me. Puts the mask on her. Then he goes there. All his blood vessels in his eyes pop. He looks like a very painful death, but very slow.
What a Titanic moment. Like, you can put Rose on the door. You can fucking fit her in there, dude. Come on.
Exactly.
You're not two
fly
giants.
Fly out, grab her, or fly right back. I
it's
understand.
Not like two Draxes or something. You know, she's a tiny... Make it work. She's small.
Yeah. Come anyway, on, it doesn't matter. So, or, they get,
yeah,
they
grab
get snatched
her, put her in
up.
The thing, and keep your helmet on.
Yep, right there. That's what I thought.
That's why not? You fucking, you're not a good high level problem solver under stress. I'm just saying.
Maybe since those weren't designed for that, they didn't have, once you open it, the oxygen supply's gone. Maybe it's just the oxygen inside of it. I don't know.
That's a terrible design. What happens if you get caught out in space? You got to go out there, pee, you got
to
come back.
Well, that's not how the space works.
What are you going to do?
Anyways, they get sucked into the ship. Yondu's there. He brings the thing up, puts it to Quill's neck. He's going to kill him. Same story about, they were going to eat you. They never had Terran flesh. I'm like, why is that? That's not what normal people say. And like, that was funny. Okay, cool. Yeah. That's a good scene. But he's like, oh, wait, are we going to flip this thing, Yondu? You're going to be a rich man? Yondu's like, yeah. He's all about that. He's like, yeah. That's my Yondu. Do that with your lips. Because they focus on his teeth out. Yeah. You know what I mean? Anyway.
I've never seen him do that.
Oh, No. Yondu doesn't do that. But Greg Miller doing Yondu. You know what I mean?
You got to take some artistic liberties.
Exactly. Come on.
Andy.
You know what I mean?
You're a putz.
Quill and the Guardians are thrown back downstairs. They got to come up with a plan on the fly.
The jackets.
Huh?
Get the little jackets and outfits.
I'm not there yet.
They haven't gotten them.
They formed the plan.
But they did have
first.
The what was it, Drax on top of the ship with that giant gun.
Oh, right.
Gun,
yeah.
And it
sorry.
Was like, you have 5 seconds to comply.
Yeah, that
it's
was
like,
good.
Wait, how do you... You were going to shoot him?
Yeah, another hilarious.
You were going to save us by killing us?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Peter, how's it going?
Yeah, they have 12% of a plan. And funny dialogue wrapped around it.
Funny thing about the 12%, and I found this on a Things You Missed website, that I didn't fucking know. We're about to learn some shit today, Easter egg style. This comes from thethings.com.
The Things.
There are many running jokes which pervade Marvel movies, from lost arms to Stanley cameos to Tony Stark's hatred of being handed things.
Yep. That stops, though, after Iron
Man. I didn't realize.
You never noticed
that? Oh, yeah. No.
Isn't that after Iron Man 2?
But one of the earliest and most famous is the 12% reference. What began in Iron Man, Pepper Potts' insistence to Tony that she's having 12% of a moment, was continued in Avengers, Tony again offering Pepper 12% of the credit, and Age of Ultron, Quicksilver's 12 minutes older than Scarlet Witch. Here, the joke's incarnation is delivered by Quill before the film's climax, which claims he had 12% of a plan to take down Ronan and steal the orb. It's fucking weird.
Interesting.
I like those little weird. Inside jokes. It's fun.
Yeah,
for
it's
people
like how
us.
Pixar puts that same three numbers everywhere. Yeah. It's, you know,
their old
666.
No. 420. You know what I mean?
420. Smoke it out.
They got a plan. They're going to go do it. They're going to take down Ronan's ship. They're going to go in there and do all this stuff. Great. Good job.
Cherry Bomb.
What a great fucking song. So good. Off the Dazed and Confused soundtrack.
I love that though, because this, I mean, this is the scene where they finally gel as a team, right? Yeah. Where they all realize
they get matching outfits.
Hey, we're actually friends. We actually care about each other.
And talk about being friends
too. Yeah, and he talks about how he's like, you're asking us to die. And then they all, each and every one of them, accept, like, maybe it's actually better to die together than live apart, which is kind of an endearing scene, right? And Rocket has that great line where he's like, what the hell? My lifespan's not that long anyway. And they go, and then they get ready, and they all suit up. Which, this was the first time I noticed this. Watching it prior, I didn't realize they were all dressed the same. Like, similar.
Oh, mm-hmm.
They all put on red outfits.
The Ravager stuff, yeah.
Yeah, which is cool. I didn't realize that was, like, their... I just didn't catch it the first time.
The Ravagers have a trailer. I mean, a tailor. In Volume 2, they talk about, because they make the little Groot awesome. Suit. Yeah.
I love it. So we get that scene where they're walking down the aisle. Or walking down
so
the...
So fucking cool.
And they all kind of come, and they all form. And I didn't catch this the first time either, Groot but it's grabs. Supposed to be this awesome sequence, like this powerful moment, and like Gamora yawns.
Yawns, yeah.
And like,
yeah.
They're just like, oh, Rocket. Yeah. Yeah. Rocket's it's just take. So good. Groot's so good.
And I love that because that's the Avengers Circle moment, but for these... characters that we should not give a fuck about, and yet somehow we totally do.
Yeah.
They fucking did it.
Yeah. It's really fun.
So they go over there, that Nova Corps planet again, Terry Misu, whatever. Zandavar, whatever.
Zandar.
Sorry, Zandar.
And they are Zandarians.
They sent a mission to the Zandarians over there, going closest peeps, and they're just like, you know, it's the John C. Reilly thing where he comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Why did you say message?
You said mission.
Oh, did okay. Yeah, thank you. I was like,
I was kind of thrown off by that.
Anyways, they go there, and John C. Reilly has the great scene of
he was like, he sent me a message. He's like, do you believe him? And he goes, I do. He said he is an a-hole, but he's not 100%.
And I quote, not 100%.
Not 100%.
Do you believe him?
Yeah. he's like, I don't believe anyone's 100% a dick. Yeah.
So good.
But like, you put him in. Do you think that I'm sure he was like enjoying making the movie. Do you think he took anything seriously the entire time he was on that set?
Did he have to?
He didn't have that many lines.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's so good. He's
I think earlier with Star-Lord being like, oh you're the guy with a nickname.
Star Prince.
Yeah.
I think that was his character, was to not give a shit about anything.
And shout out to Glenn Close, by the way, for doing this. You know, like, Glenn Close obviously is a person who's had, like, a great career. She's an actress at a great
101 Dalmatians.
She does not have to do a movie like this, and obviously it's just cool.
It's fun, yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
Why not?
She's fucking great. Is Nova Prime, is that her character?
Yeah.
She's great as that character. Yeah. It's so fun. Yeah. So well done.
So the message was sent. They go over there. They're going to start attacking. They have this cool thing. They shoot the ship with this giant fireball that hits there, and then by the time it fades, they've already gone down there. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, we left off the point too, that when Ronan was like, I'm not going to listen to you, Thanos, he grabbed the stone and put it in his hammer. He can blow people up.
That was pretty cool too.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, basically said, Thanos, I'm coming for you after this. And Thanos just kind of smiles and like cuts the thing.
And then like, Nebula's like, wait, what? Yeah. I'll go?
Yeah.
Wait, what? I'll go.
Yeah, there you go.
Sorry, Papa.
So Nebula is there, and you know, they're doing the thing on the big ship. Everything's happening. The firefight's outside. Cool. That's great. Ravagers are working together. Then Nova Corps, they show up. They got the message about the dicks. They're all fighting alongside the guys.
You got your dick message.
You got my dick message.
Such a good fucking line.
Then we get inside the ship. Drax, Gamora, Peter Quill. Maybe Rocket? No, Rocket's outside.
Rocket's outside.
Yeah. And they make their assault on the base here. Nebula shows up, fights Gamora for a little bit. It's a good fight, I think. Another good fight, right, Tim?
Cool. Oh, yeah, because that's what she does. She does a fucking weird thing.
And then she breaks her own hand off rather than reach out to Gamora. That's cool.
Yeah. Looks so painful.
Did you talk about the part where all the ships kind of link up?
We're not there yet. We're not quite there yet.
Moments away.
Meanwhile, Yondu, his ship got shot down. He went down to Earth. A bunch of guys show up. Like, ooh, fucking call him off. Then we get to finally see what the fuck this little arrow does. And it
does a lot.
Yeah. I still feel like somebody would have shot him, but it's still a great scene.
And the guy,
but I mean, it's so quick.
James
and
gone.
Everyone's really just like, wasn't oh, that. Look at this thing. Oh. It went through me.
The guy that got killed that was talking is James Gunn. Oh, that's cool.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Neat. So back up on the ship. Nebula's out. She's gone. So they all form back up. They make their assault on Rowan. Shoot him with the gun that's been around forever. It's a big explosion. There's this moment of happiness. Then now he ain't dead, man. He's right there. And everybody's like, oh,
no. The wall thing.
I mean, I kind of just jump around.
I felt like he wanted to talk about it.
The wall thing was freaking cool as hell.
It was really cool.
I thought the
cool.
wall thing was the dumbest part of this whole movie.
It slowed the ship down.
Yeah, but that's the only planetary defense system that Xandar has. Where it's like
pretty cool.
Yeah.
You don't have a big cannon that shoots a fucking warship out of the sky. Like, this is all. They were like, oh shit, we never thought that someone was going to fly their warship over to us and assault our planet.
Nick, it's peacetime right
now. They just finished 1,000 years of war. They don't have a fucking gun that can shoot from the fucking ground to the space.
I do think it was an incredibly niche
I think it's either way. Whatever you want to say.
Niche is what I like to
say. Niche.
I think it's an incredibly niche salad. Thing to have on your ships to like, oh, let's make a giant force field.
Yeah.
I think it's like,
how it was a cool idea, but then, when you think about it, whatever.
I thought it was fucking cool because practicality, it would have fallen and killed everybody.
It was a, like a weapon that's like a cannon or something else. But let's take the small one-man ships, link them all up, and thank God that it's just big enough to form a little cozy blanket on the fucking the nose of this gigantic warship that we've never seen before, apparently, because we've just finished fighting a thousand-year war against the Kree. But it's cool. Don't worry about it. We'll just link our ships up. Oh, by the way, all those pilots, fucking dead. Because they just smack. No escape pods, by the way. No way of ejecting. They're just like, well, I guess this thing's... sandwiched in between things.
They didn't get smashed. Didn't whatchamacallit shoot it?
Like half the pilots died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, but I thought he.
Died.
I thought that happened because he shot it with his hammer. At one point, he was like, "I'm done waiting," and he shoots it with a hammer.
I just remember seeing their shots where the the guys are like, "Ah!" And it was like,
"Yeah." Well, it's because it broke they didn't have a hold on it because the stone broke some of their shit, so then they got squished.
I would never seen that one coming. Seems like it's crazy that a missile or some explosion could have just broken the train, thus causing this amazing defensive weapon.
It was the power stone.
Amazing defensive blanket.
Destroying an entire planet.
Nova Prime, should we launch the defense blanket? Yes.
Yeah.
Launch the Whoopi.
What if one of those ships would have just been shot? What would have happened?
Stupid.
It probably would have been fine.
Like, they don't have any bigger warships.
Just one little hole.
Well, it's like it would just ruin the structural integrity of it, right? That's what happened. That's why it starts buckling.
How does it look though?
Like a Whoopi.
There's no orange there anymore.
Yeah.
I'm asking the tough questions.
It's like
James
a little
Gunn.
Square that would be just not there.
I almost said James Guns.
Mm. So, anyways. The explosion didn't work. Now the ship's just hurtling towards Earth with everybody on it or whatever. Mainly just the Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. And then, what's his face? Ronan. And so it's going down and it's hurtling towards planet Xylophone. It's going to crash into the city and kill everybody, right? We did have a cool thing we left out. Not really a cool thing, but it's cool. Well, it's cool, but it's not like a big deal. It's not as important. It's probably just as important as reaching out for a fucking hand. Anyways, that the pink little pink girl and her pink mom got saved by Rocket and the people. That'll come into play later.
Well, you missed another great moment, though, too, when they're fighting Jaimon Hutsu, and he's like, Star-Lord. And he's
that was cool.
Finally.
That is
fucking moment.
Yeah, that was cool, and that was a good fight, and it was, like, disturbing to see Groot just, like, go through the people and do it, and then he turns around and does that, like, smile. Like, Jesus.
But I love as he's doing it, like... Chris Pratt has his face, and
Drax looks at it. Yeah, Drax looks at it. It's great, right?
So awesome. Excited.
Yeah, exactly. Groot starts making a giant dome around him.
Well, no, you missed the, like, they shoot the rocket at him.
Nope, we said that quite a while ago.
You said
that quite a while ago.
Didn't work.
Starts making him into a giant ball there. He's strapping everybody in, and then Rocket wakes up, and he's like, no, Groot, it'll kill you. And then Groot's like,
hated it. Absolutely hated it.
Yeah?
The We Are Groot, great. Heartfelt, I get it, cool. But... me and Kevin were talking about this.
I don't think it was that bad.
I hate this type of exposition it's going to kill you, dude. Why? Why is it going to kill you?
Because he's opened his whole body up.
But it's like, if Rocket didn't say that, we wouldn't think he's going to die.
Well, that's why he had to say it.
He's his only friend.
I get that.
He's his only friend. And we
are
Groot.
That has nothing to do with what I'm saying.
We are Groot.
It's he did more of the like, Firefly.
If Rocket didn't say that and he just went and went over everybody, we'd all assume, oh, cool, they're safe.
So what?
It just bothers me that it has to be this moment of him dying. Like it's like we haven't earned enough to have this sacrifice moment. What does that mean?
I think if he was only doing that to save Rocket would make sense for me. Like he's not trying to say like who cares if he's trying to save the team or not. Like
it's not even about
he's
that.
He's trying to save Rocket.
I don't care,
like,
it's not about save. People.
It was tugging
about
at the heartstrings,
like sacrificing himself in general. Him dying in that moment's like this.
It
felt so
survived?
Lazy to me.
How
him coming out with the fucking, like, Avatar-ass bullshit.
The lights?
Yeah. Mm.
You didn't like that either? What's wrong with that?
That's just weird.
He can make light. He made a flower. Are you mad about the fucking flower, too?
So you don't like this touching moment, but the space defense whoopee, you're totally fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
Whoopee?
Yeah, what the fuck's a
it's a child's blanket.
It's like if the ships were like, oh,
thanks, Greg.
Guys, we have grills built into our ships in case, like, we're attacked by an alien that throws stakes at us. Yeah, like... it's at the. Stupid. You see what I'm saying? Yeah.
Stupid.
I don't know. I don't agree with you because I think maybe I should have spoken up earlier. To everyone who loves the Nova Corps out there, I'm sorry.
We have nets that shoot out in case bad guys throw fish at our planet. Well, like you said,
catch the bad guys. I'm sure they would have just blocked energy shots too.
You said it was just big enough for the ship, right? Well, that's just because that's the orientation they put them in. Those guys can go up and down and all around. I mean, don't get me wrong.
I get it. That's their technology. Like thinking back when they captured Peter Quill and
Gamora.
Yeah,
they just did that too.
Like,
yeah.
They just get frozen in space. So they are like, maybe they do use force fields. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that's a great defense and maneuver. But if you're... It's a great defensive maneuver, but you have zero offensive capabilities planetarily. You have zero planetary defenses. Well, no, I don't buy that.
The message was like, hey, if this guy touches the fucking floor, he can kill your world.
So let's slowly stop this thing, which, by the way, once they realize it's not working, do we not have a nuke or something we could throw? You know what would stop it? Blowing it to fucking small particles. That's what would stop it. That'd be really cool.
And then you've got giant chunks falling on people.
They evacuated the city anyway. He didn't get that part.
No, we did. Yeah. That's remember the purple. I mean, like they say evacuate the city,
right?
And then there's still motherfuckers running all over the place. So
just chilling.
It's
watching.
Hard to evacuate the city. Can't be. Done I agree, in like but 20
I just,
minutes.
Fair. I just fair. You know, whatever. It doesn't help. So, anyways,
we are Groot.
Nova Corps. They're just a bunch of bitches. We knew that. That's the whole reason Guardians got to come save the day. Anyways, yeah, we are Groot. I liked him wrapping him up. I liked him strapping them down. I liked the wide shot of him netting himself into the ship.
Yeah.
I just don't. I was like, it's a cool scene, except for like all of the physics and everything else of like, how did they get thrown from the ship clear? Yeah, I mean, whatever. I'm not going to bust balls about it.
That's what I'm saying. That's my problem with it. It doesn't make sense and it's fucking weird.
I would rather he did it and then rolled them out or something.
A cheap sentimental moment.
Like, life response.
Whereas like, I feel like they could have done a better job making it not cheap.
I didn't like a very small portion of it. I liked the We Are Groot scene. I didn't like the
grew so much right there.
Yeah. And then I did like the aftermath or whatever of them. You know, they all survived. He's dead. This is sad. Rocket's devastated.
Destroyed.
All right, cool. Yeah, that's great. But from the ashes, Ronan walks on out with his big old hammer and his big old Infinity Stone. And he's what?
The actor's name is Lee Pace.
Oh, okay. The Shaun of the Dead guy. He walks out there and he's on Planet Xylophone. He's not about it. You know what I mean? He's like, guess what, everybody? Ah. And like, what are they going to do? How are they going to stop him? Rocket starts working on a little thing. Everybody sees that. Peter gets up and starts to dance off.
So hilarious. Funny.
It's so funny.
What?
Such a good scene.
Okay. And see, this is one of my things that I like. You say that, like, you know, Ronan's just like Dark Elves or whoever, right? Some forgettable whatever.
It's not.
I don't agree based throughout the movie and just a little bit of his motivations, and I liked his back and forth with Darkseid. I was like, all right, cool, and I like your motivation.
Not Darkseid.
But thank you very much. Thanos, sorry.
Yeah.
So many knockoffs here in the Marvel Universe. Sure. I can't keep it straight. Also, stop. I think some of the mess ups I'm doing are in character. Anyways.
When you said Darkseid, I was like, oh, that's your joke.
Exactly. I don't know which one that was, honestly.
Yeah, I know that it wasn't,
but
though.
But what does it matter? It's funny. Right. Anyways, but I like this. I think it all pays off here where he actually stops to have this like real world conversation with Peter Quill. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah, exactly. And he's like, I'm dating. Like, and then he just stares and like, it's like awesome to see that like as dumb as most distractions are in movies, action movies specifically, here's a purposely dumb distraction that works. And you have this like him stopping his monologue. And you'd be like, what is going on? Why are you doing blah, blah. And then Turd Blossom gets used, which is a great shout out.
So
I see. Yeah.
We were at Chipotle for lunch. And when we were talking about
you got
that
some
scene,
Turd Blossoms coming.
You brought up that like, it's crazy that scene worked because it really could have not worked and it could have been cringeworthy and not funny.
Yeah.
And it's like, they did such a good job because of how Ronan reacted.
It could have easily killed the movie.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But can you imagine any other movie trying to do that and just be like, to get to the end and see that and be like, what the fuck is this shit? Like,
yeah.
But it worked and it's unbelievable that
I think
it was
the, like the delivery of Chris Pratt doing it and then Gamora and Ronan both being like, what the fuck?
Like, let me throw
this
into Gamora.
Ronan has a moment with Gamora where he looks at her like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It was great. Meanwhile, the Rocket made another one of the shoot-gun guns. And he fires it, not at Ronan this time, but at the Infinity Stone in the hammer. Hammer blows up. Infinity Stone starts falling. We get some cool 360 slow-mo vids, like you're at PAX or something, of Chris Pratt jumping for it and Ronan grabbing for
it. PAX.
Yeah. Exactly. They want to save some money.
2013.
Chris Pratt grabs the stone. He starts freaking out and burning and breaking out, and like he's coming apart at the seams, like that kind of shit. And then, we get a moment of him then
looking and being normal for a second and looking over and seeing his mom reach out saying, Peter, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Man, tears to my eyes.
That, yeah, that's like beautiful every time. Fucking
doesn't Gamora pretty shout out, like, take my hand?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he remembers his mom saying, take my hand.
And he's in space seeing her.
He absolutely remembers his
mom. Or is it that he sees it? Maybe he's being transported to another plane of existence.
That's not what the Power Stone does.
Well, but he's also part God.
He is part God.
That's true.
I just thought he was tripping out.
In that well, I mean, I would give it to you, but in that vision, he's whole again. You know what I mean? She's there. We're up in the stars. We could, if it was just him remembering her, why not just transport fucking Milk Dud Mom right there and like have her there and he's still breaking apart? Why are we in the stars? Why not everybody be back in the hospital room, right? I think there's more to it than that.
Either way, and teared up like every four exactly times in the theaters I saw it.
Gamora grabs him. She starts getting torn apart. Then Batista grabs Pratt. He gets torn apart. Rocket grabs him.
I love that.
Yeah, it's just a little hand coming up.
I fucking love that. That was the part that I almost lost it at. Because I was like, okay, Rocket's going to grab him too, but it's such a cute little hand where it's like, what's this little guy going to do? Especially since like Drax couldn't hold the power, and then it just ends up being just the last little bit they need to actually control this immense power for just that 1 second.
Yeah.
And that's all it takes, and they have that.
We're the
awesome
Guardians of the Galaxy.
He's like,
bitch.
Who are you? You should be able to do this. You're mortal. Who are you? So we're the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Is he not mortal? You know, like, why did he say that?
I don't know. He's just assuming that he's a normal human being.
Or a normal
Xandarian or Terran or whatever.
Zaps him. Ronan's dead. Back in the thing. Everybody's happy for a second. They're all bloody and broken up. And it's cool. Not Rocket's not happy. Rocket's still very sad.
I need that stone, boy.
Yeah, oh, it's Yondu, everybody. Yondu coming over here. Mary Poppins, y'all. He comes in. He wants it. Then a little sleight of hand from Peter Quill. Gives the thing to Yondu. Yondu walks off. Peter's like, don't open it, Yondu. You see what's going to happen here, man. Don't open it. And Yondu's like, yes. So then he walks.
I was wondering if that face is going to make a return.
He walks away, right? And then Peter Quill's like, I still got it. It was all that. Yay. Rocket's over there being super sad. Batista rubs his head. But then we plan a thing. Anyways, we go back to Nova Corps and Nova Prime. They're like, when we scanned you, it turns out we fucking buried the medical results and you're part God or something. You got some celestial in you, son. And that's why you could last a little bit longer with the stone. And it was like, oh, we should look into this. Who is his dad? The internet will speculate for a long time and it will be someone nobody guesses other than it was Kurt Russell. We knew that part. John C. Reilly, show him to their ship. Rocket's got the little planner. He's got the stick in it. That's Groot. They're all in matching outfits again now. Now they're in blue outfits, which is nice.
Normal what if core, I want something that somebody else owns?
Yeah, yeah. They walk them out and they've rebuilt
they
the Milano.
Records, yeah.
They've rebuilt the Milano and they've expunged their records, but don't do any more bad things. And then we get great things of Rocket and Batista being like, what if I do this? Like, no, these are crimes.
No, you can't say that. But what if I want it more than the person who has it? Like, you're not understanding.
What if someone does something wrong and I kill them? He's like, well, that's one of the worst crimes there is.
Murder. And he just goes,
yeah, exactly. John C. Reilly and Peter Quill have their final moment there. That's really sweet. And he's like, yeah, I'm looking after him or whatever. Get on the ship. You want to do something good? You want to do something bad? A little bit of both. They choose a little bit of both. Good Take answer. Off. Seems like the movie's over as we play some Jackson 5. Jackson, my apologies, 5. Everybody. And then we get the dancing Groot stick.
But let's be honest, it was Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Can we? Come on.
Yeah, sure.
Get from out the of opening up a can of unplugged sardines there.
Huh? Where do they open? Like, he opens the gift eventually and it's like, oh,
right here.
Like,
yeah,
two,
yeah,
like,
before
oh,
this,
yeah,
obviously. Yeah, oh, awesome. Next one, yeah.
Freaking yep. Awesome.
Yeah.
Such a good
moment.
Gamora dances a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Very sweet. And then credits roll.
And the baby Groot, man, so cool.
Yeah.
And so, we already saw Yondu open the...
No, we didn't even mention it. Yondu opens it up. It's a troll, and he does this.
Yes.
He's very happy about it. He's like, I'm proud of Peter Quill for getting one
over.
He smiles.
He's like, that fucker, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to eat him.
Some pros.
One day
I'm going to eat that fucker. Credits. Then we get our after credit scene of Benicio Del Toro there drinking his drink. The dog licks him. And then Howard the Duck, Seth Green over there.
Seth Green.
Why are you going to let him lick you? Disgusting.
Yeah. Drinks his drink.
I nailed it.
Yeah. Well, I tried it a lot. When I was casting, it was Lego Howard the Duck in Lego Marvel Superheroes 2. And when they gave me no direction beforehand, I watched that clip about a million times and patented that impression. Yeah. And then I got on to do it. And they're like, oh, don't do that. Do yours.
Don't do that.
All right. Thank you.
That is very funny.
It was a very weird post-credit scene,
super
by the way.
Super fucking weird. But I love it because it like really sets the tone of Guardians. Yep. And like it's like, fuck it, we're different. And like, fuck you, yeah, Howard the Duck's going to be here.
Sure, Howard the Duck, weird. A movie that was like super obscure from the 80s that was not really a big deal. But then they had to credit the guy that played Howard the Duck. I guess I didn't realize it was Seth Green.
Who created it or wrote it.
No, like it was there. And then it was like Howard the Duck played by Seth Green. Like right afterward. I'm like, that's fucking, who the fuck cares? That's weird.
I didn't notice that. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I must have looked away.
You want to, you know, you don't want to ruin it in the credits. But what, unless it's going to be like Metal Gear Solid 4. What the fuck?
Some fun things.
Leave some fun things on me.
I like fun.
We nailed most of it. The only thing, there is a Easter egg that to this day has not been found.
No way.
Yeah. And there we have the big one. This also comes from thethings.com. The one that nobody can find. The final Guardians of the Galaxy Easter egg, which James Gunn absolutely insists does exist and remains yet unfound. He even recently suggested that he'd give up $100,000 if he were proven to be lying about it to this day. Suggestions have included a Captain Marvel appearance and a hologram, a giant Groot and Rocket image plastered across the stars, and countless more. But Gunn claims that the final Easter egg still has not been successfully deciphered.
You can just lie about it forever.
Yeah.
Also worth pointing out now, because none of us knew it then, and I didn't know about it until like 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Groot is dead, and Baby Groot is not Groot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Groot. That's something that came out. We did a whole morning show topic about it or whatever. But like,
I had always assumed that he had died and that was a clone. Like, that is... Like, he will grow and become the physically the same Groot,
sure,
but his mind, a new mind.
Seeing as how Groot has been dumb as a tree, literally dumb as a tree the whole movie, I don't think there was enough information ever to have that.
They probably never noticed either.
I kind of wish that Rocket explained it all.
Me too.
You know? I kind of wish that he was just like,
so if chances are you haven't seen The Morning Show, and maybe you're like, Jen and I were talking about this last night because we had a conversation together about it, and she's like, oh, did you know? I'm like, yeah, did you? Like, and we didn't, obviously, until this happened. So Guardians 1 comes out, that happens. Sometime, I think, between then and Guardians 2, James Gunn puts up a Facebook post being like, hey, by the way, Baby Groot is not Groot. Different memories, you know, no memories, obviously. He's his own person, his own personality, all these different things. And that kind of just never makes headlines that I never hear about it. And then we see Guardians 2, and then I guess... most recently, someone reacted to that news. Someone
like a
famous.
Month ago.
Yeah, and that got it all stirred up again. And James Gunn linked to a whole bunch of different stuff and was just like, it's like Groundhog's Day every time this comes around. I've talked about this before, but I keep missing. And trust me, for our small bit of internet celebrity, the amount of time that I have to tell you what to order at Portillo's, even though I've put out that video a million times and I would expect everyone to have seen it or known about it. No, so many people don't. I understand where he's coming from and the fact that now you're something millions of people enjoy and how the fuck are you going to communicate a message. But it started, this is how I think it got in, around, somebody noticed it that was famous before or this time around, where it was, he's like, oh man, in spoilers for Guardians 2, you can mute your ears for 5 seconds. You know, somebody's like, oh man, will you ever bring Yondu back? And he's like, no, death needs to mean something in my, death means something in my movies. You can't, and this movie's like, what about Groot? And he's like, Groot, Baby Groot's not Groot. And everybody flipped out. For me, I feel like that points to the fact that he missed the mark. In that, yes, Guardians 2, don't get me wrong, I don't need a million lines of exposition, but it should have been just a line from Drax even, like, well, I call him Baby Groot, he's not Groot. And, then Rocket being like, well, yeah, he doesn't have the memories or whatever, but he looks like him and this, and he sounds exactly like him, and he acts like a stupid moron like Groot, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't understand why anybody else outside
all Groots are the same. Do the same thing. They all say the same. I am Groot. That's all they can say.
Well,
so it sounds like him. It doesn't sound like him. It sounds like a baby.
Sure, but I mean, it's Vin Diesel.
I think the only person that can really settle this argument is Baby Groot himself.
Thank you.
I think this is going to put him down.
Making use of the props.
The audio is listening.
Wait, man, wait, too
now,
much
real quick,
time.
I'd like to point out that he brought on the prop and then used his own face to cover it. So people can't even say, there we go.
We spent way too much time talking about this. Let's rank the movie.
Okay, sorry. You want to get home? You want to go home? I understand. I'm sweaty.
It's pretty
too.
Hot.
It's really hot.
How about we rank some bad guys?
Ragu
Vids.
Ragu.
Now.
We get Bagu.
Nice.
Thank you very much. Remember, if Ragu Bagu is rad guys talking bad guys. It's where we rank the MCU villains each and every week. It's me and Andy, no one else. If you'd like to run twitter.com/RaguBaguVids, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny for a cheap $1,000. It's Ben. You can run it for a week. No one's done it, so I am officially increasing it to 2 weeks.
Whoa!
You get to run it at $1,000.
Whoa!
$500 a week.
That's a
you
great.
You get to send messages to Joey Noel, who will then post for you to make sure they aren't like Nazi stuff. We don't need that kind of crap. You know what I mean? Unless it's about you know, how Red Skull, Nazis then are. I understand that. Okay. Right now, the rankings for Ragu Bagu
Red
starting.
Skull, you know, a lot of good ideas.
Fine person. Great person. Yeah. Ragu Bagu starting at the worst. We have at number 10, these fucks from Thor 2. Number 9, Abomination and Hulk. Number 8, Loki and Thor. Number 7, your boy, Obadiah Stane in Iron Man 1. Number 6, the Mandarin / Aldrich Killian in Iron Man 3. Number 5, Sam Rockwell and Mickey Rourke in Iron Man 2. Number 4, Red Skull in Captain America. Number 3, Hydra in Captain America, Winter Soldier. Number 2, Loki in Avengers. Number 1, Michael B. Jordan, Black Panther.
Yeah.
So now we got to figure out where we're putting Ronan.
I got an idea.
Yeah.
This isn't even going to be funny. I don't know why I said that.
Put him in the number 6 slot.
I'm putting him right above Abomination.
My man. That's what I was saying to you right there. Man. So we're putting then, below that would move. Yeah, yeah, exactly. He would take the number 9 spot, Ronan would. Putting him between below him.
God, you guys like Obadiah way too much.
So now it would be the worst. These fucks in Thor 2, Abomination, Ronan, correct. Loki, and Thor.
Correct.
I agree. Shake hands on it. Woo. And that's a ragu bag.
Okay,
done,
man.
For right
great
there.
Episode.
Please play the song out.
Yeah, click the bell. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Ragu.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Ragu. That's a long
click
intro.
Click the bell.
Click the bell.
You don't want to miss when we put up new videos.
Yeah.
Now it's time to rank the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Right now we have... Cool, Greg. Can you bring it up? Number 1, Captain America, the Winter Soldier. Number 2, Avengers. Number 3, Iron Man. Number 4, Black Panther. Number 5, Iron Man 2. Number 6, Captain America, the First Avenger. Number 7, Iron Man 3. Number 8, The Incredible Hulk. Number 9, Thor. Number 10, Thor, The Dark World. Now, Anyone have any hot takes?
I want you to say, before we go to somebody's first episode, maybe Chris Pratt's.
Yeah.
How do we rank them?
Someone throws something out there, and then whoever
I meant
the
more like what are we basing them? You don't have criteria. Action. How they tie
it's
in?
Just like the villain action comedy. It's standing alone. Universe building. As we went on with this, I've just kind of realized
that
all just
that's never gonna happen.
Mixes together.
Okay, cool.
Anyways, I'm gonna say for me, I'm debating on whether or not it's above Iron Man.
Mm. I have this at number 3 above Iron Man, right below the Avengers.
I got to put it right below Iron Man.
No, wait. You know what?
That's crazy.
Wait.
You're a psychopath.
Hold on.
I love Iron Man, man. I'll tell
I
you
love
what,
this
If you go
movie,
back
though,
and
this...
watch Iron Man again, it's every bit as entertaining, if not more so. It's just a more fun movie.
Here's what I'll
more
toss
fun.
Out there.
I thought so.
Here's what I'll toss out there is the fact that this is the first one of these movies I feel... outside of Avengers that I've watched multiple times before.
I've seen it.
I would put this movie so as times. My number one in this list right here.
And so what I was driving at is I feel like this is the first time I've watched Guardians because the last time I watched it was at a Christmas and it was like, oh, I haven't seen this in forever. That I've watched it and it was so fresh. And so that took away some of my enjoyment of it. Mm. Where I was like, all right, I know where it's going. I remember this, blah, blah, blah. Which is unfair.
I remember how much
I loved it in the theaters and how much I loved it after a few years apart. And then now coming in, I was like, all right, that was good. So my initial thought was put it at number 4 underneath Iron Man and above Black Panther. But I think what I'm doing there is grading too harshly based on that. And so I would make a case for it to go number 3.
Yeah, it's hard. Because
I want it to be number 1.
I'm sorry, Kevin.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I was just saying this movie is fucking hilarious. This movie is sentimental. This movie like builds a team that we care about in one movie.
The pacing's great.
And had no business being. This movie is fucking phenomenal.
Everything this movie does, I feel like Avengers does better. In that builds a team, brings the team together, has those wonderful moments in Avengers where it's like the awesome actions. I think the action in Avengers is a much better set of pieces. I think you care much more about the characters. This, again, don't get me wrong. I still think it should rank highly up on the list. I just feel like we have to give credit where credit's due for a lot of these things. And Avengers just did the team coming together the best we've ever seen it. So I don't think you can rank it above that.
I think this did a better job.
At the end, the last sequence where it's like, what? This is so contrived and stupid. Like
what, the last sequence?
Well, the thing trying to get to the Earth. I'm like, this is really where we're at. Like, this is like... It's as opposed to like Alien Invader, an entire alien fucking army invading
Isn't
New York. We have to
thing?
Fight the battle for the New York. But it's just so much better done in Avengers.
I disagree. I think that, like Avengers
moments.
Was really cool, but I think this movie, adding like after this movie, like comedies change, like the event, the tone changes where now there's this really good thought out comedy aspect that like this movie was like this is the first time we've seen it in this world where it's or in Marvel.
Yeah, I feel like Avengers, Iron Man, and Guardians are each kind of the originators and set the tone for certain things, whether it was the coming together, the single origin story, or the group origin story.
Damn, I might have to agree with Kevin.
Damn,
dude, there is you guys are
better than Winter Soldier.
Fucking mind if you think it's better than Avengers and Winter Soldier.
I don't know if it's a better movie.
I just enjoy it more.
I feel like you. I feel like you're saying that because you just watched it.
No.
Like if you watched Avengers again, you'd be like, I don't know. I feel like I just enjoy it more.
No, because definitely.
After I watched it last night, I thought, you know what? Didn't enjoy this movie as much around this time because I've seen it so many times.
That's my problem too. That's why I say it's worse than Iron Man. Because no matter how many times I watch, Iron Man can be on AMC tonight and I'd be like, fuck, I gotta watch this movie. Whereas I was actually kind of dreading watching Guardians, and guess what? It kind of wasn't as fun.
This is the movie that I showed to so many people of like to get them interested into
the MCU.
MCU because it's so funny and it's so relatable. And I think the comedy is it's a fucking comedy with like action bits and people enjoy that
stuff. But it has like moments with like the mom where it's just like, fuck man, in the beginning of the movie, you fucking feel that scene. And at the end, when Gamora reaches out.
Tears.
Yeah, dude, that moment also is just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I think this is an incredible movie.
I hate the intro to Avengers. I hate the ending of Iron Man. I feel like this movie was better paced throughout, but I still...
I think that on this list, for all of us, the movie that we've seen, or like on the complete list, on all 19 Marvel movies, the movie that we've seen the most, hands down, is Guardians for every one of us.
I've seen Avengers way more than once. I've seen Avengers and Iron Man way more than Guardians. I feel like you guys are not giving nearly enough credit to what Iron Man accomplished and what Avengers managed to accomplish. This is a movie that is the culmination of five films before it. This is a movie that has done nothing, that has no one's has done this movie as well since. DC's tried, hasn't really worked.
And that's an argument I have, and I want to try to avoid the show talking about what's going to happen later. Right. But my thing is, I think Thor Ragnarok is the best Guardians movie.
Oh, it is.
And like that to me is like,
I love, don't get me wrong, I think this movie needs to rank highly. I think it is a great, it takes what they've done with the Marvel Cinematic Universe up until this point and said, hey, how are we going to change, how are we going to make this feel fresh, how are we going to make it feel new? And they go, let's take a chance with humor, let's take a chance with these off-ball, goofball characters.
Color.
And they bring it in, similar to what they did with Iron Man, where you're like, who the fuck cares about Iron Man? And guess what? They made us care about that. So in that regard, yeah, I could understand the interplay between this and Iron Man, but like, come on, the fucking Avengers brought together a bunch of characters that nobody gave a shit about up until that point and made us fucking, I got a boner when they circle around it, right? I fucking love that scene. There's nothing better than that scene where they're going through New York and they're finally fighting as a team and it ends with Hulk punching out Thor. Like, that's the best fucking scene in any Marvel movie. That there's nothing that even comes close to that being as exciting as that in Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's the best scene MCU, I'd agree.
100%.
That's the best scene, but like overall, like this movie is just better.
And like to me, every you're giving a lot of points to Avengers. You're putting a lot of points to Avengers for putting together all these superheroes. But to me, like, we knew who they were. Like, we knew who
we did because we had five movies before.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But this is like they made you care about four random people that when you said nobody cared about Iron Man, like, we kind of knew who Iron Man was.
When you heard that Rocket Raccoon is a character, and you're like, wait, what? Yeah, he's a raccoon. You know,
I had maybe two episodes of a Marvel show that I'd seen where Iron Man kind of showed up. But up until that point, nobody gave a fuck about Iron Man. Nobody cared about Thor.
Well, they cared a lot more than Guardians of the Galaxy.
Possibly. Yeah. But
not possibly. Not for sure. People
about Iron Man?
I guarantee you're talking about when we get to Avengers, or you're talking about Iron Man 1?
I was talking about Iron Man 1. Nobody gave a fuck about Iron Man 1.
And I think they thought you were talking about Avengers.
Oh, no. I'm talking about Iron Man.
That's where the wires got crossed in this conversation.
Because you guys are trying to say that.
Yeah, I stand by.
Sure, he's a better known character than Guardians. Undeniably, sure. But did you care about him? I'm just saying, Iron Man, I get that Guardians did for the next phase of the MCU what Iron Man did for the first phase of the MCU. I do get that. But you guys are out of your fucking mind if you think that Avengers is a lesser movie to Guardians of the Galaxy. Blasphemous. That is obscene.
I honestly feel like this.
If we had watched Guardians of the Galaxy first and then came back and watched Avengers, you guys would have a different opinion on it. You think Avengers is better.
I feel like it's just too fresh
in your brain.
I've seen this movie a lot more than everything. I have. Man, fuck. This is a hard vote, dude.
I love this movie, and I think that it's so fucking funny and good. And at the end of the day, I want to watch it way more than I want to watch Avengers.
No, we just disagree.
Yeah, I definitely disagree with that too. But I do think it's close to Avengers. I don't think there's that big of a gap.
No, I'm not. Again, I think we're arguing minutia here. We're not. Yeah, I'm not arguing
Avengers
that.
Is great because it's the culmination of five movies.
I vote number three. Does anyone else think it's worse than that?
I think it's worse than that. I think Iron Man should be number three still. I feel like if I had to watch the two movies right now, I'd choose Iron Man again.
That's crazy.
So doing the voting, starting and Iron Man being the last thing. If you think it's better than Iron Man, raise your hand. Okay. Do you think it's better than Avengers? Raise your hand. The new ranking.
There it is.
Of the MCU. Number one, Captain America, the Winter Soldier. Number two, Avengers. Number three, Guardians of the Galaxy. Number four, Iron Man. Number five, Black Panther. Number six, Iron Man 2. Number seven, Captain America, the Winter Soldier. No, the first Avenger. Number eight, Iron Man 3. Number nine, The Incredible Hulk. Number 10, Thor. And number 11, Thor, The Dark World. That one's going to stay there.
I was gonna say, are we gonna take a bet to see if Thor and Dark World end up being 18 and 19?
Those are for sure the last two.
I think it's pretty safe to say that the bottom three.
After Iron Man 3, I think that's staying there. Yeah. That's not moving.
I mean, my thing is, I think it goes even higher than
really?
That. Next week, we have Avengers, Age of Ultron.
That's the only question.
And even that, like, without watching the end, I've only seen it once in theaters. I can't imagine.
I can tell you right now where I think that. I think that's going to go maybe above Iron Man 2.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like,
Ultron?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Not having watched it since theaters, I mean.
But that's how you feel about a bunch of movies, right?
But I mean, not about like a thing I didn't like.
Mm.
Well, no, that's
you didn't like. Yeah, Winter Soldier.
Right. But I didn't.
Nick had Black Panther below Hulk.
Remember, yeah. I didn't like. I guess
don't throw me in the bus on this. Don't bring that shit back in the comment section.
I think Ultron's going to be below Captain America.
We'll see. I don't want to get everyone in their heads and shit. I'm excited. Next week, Avengers: Age of Ultron. We're getting there, man. We're over halfway.
Yeah,
there.
That means we're closer to Spider-Man, the new number one.
Until next time.
Hell yeah!
When do you get the show? Where do you get the show? Promote it. Hit the bell. Subscribe. Like, share. Spotify. What do you think? Spotify, Andy Cortez on Twitch.
Kind of Funny Reviews. YouTube.com/KindaFunny. Tuesday 9 a.m. Love you guys.
Have a marvelous day.
Yeah. Thank you.